The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Good evening and welcome everyone to Your Money with David Hayes. This is Doug Hughes live in studio. David is out this week, and so he has asked me to fill in and kind of go through one of the annual programs that I do on the big show. If you've been listening for a while, I do this about once a year, which is we kind of go through some of the Guide to Retirement program that's come out and talk about some things that are on everyone's mind, like how much do I need to have to retire? When should I retire? What does retirement look like for my income stream? And just different things that we're going to talk about. We're even going to get into some Social Security discussions and maybe even some Medicare. Hot Rod Holloway will join us with a little bit of insight on the markets and what has been going on in the last few weeks. And so we look forward to having a really great time to talk about retirement planning, retirement income planning, retirement life planning, and just overall general retirement planning. This is Your Money with David Hayes. We will be right back. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. This is Doug Hughes live in studio. Wanted to highlight real quickly that, as all of you know, the Olympics are going on right now. They could not be played last year, so they are happening this year. And looks like that the USA is doing pretty well in some various sports, and we've seen some really interesting things happen as far as countries that we've never heard of before winning gold medals. So really been interesting to watch that, and I hope everyone is partaking in that. Of course, it got canceled last year with COVID, and now they're replaying the 2020 Olympics in 2021. But going very well. The hours have been kind of interesting for me. I haven't been able to watch them live. I've been having to catch them recorded and things like that. I'm a huge fan of the game of tennis, and so I've been watching tennis pretty closely. And so those matches don't typically start till 10 or 11 at night, but boy, there's been some really interesting athletics and some interesting sports that are going on in the Olympics. So I hope you are watching that and checking into that. Okay, let's dive right into what we want to talk about today. And there's kind of a few things that come to mind when we talk about retirement planning. And we always ask people to take out a piece of paper and a pen and write some of these things down. Because we're going to use the word control for the first part of our program. And when we think about control, there's three aspects of control in retirement planning. One is the things you have total control over. The next are the things you have some control over. And the last is the things that are totally out of your control. And the problem is we sometimes try to control the things we can't control, and we don't control the things that we can, and we kind of get things turned around a little bit. And so we want to kind of go into what different parts of this of your retirement equation are in your control or out of your control. So let's talk first of all about what you have some control over. You do have some control over your longevity. And what we mean by that is that you have the opportunity to better your health. You have the opportunity to, if your health is bad, to improve it. You have the opportunity to make some life decisions, some things that will enhance or perhaps increase your longevity. You have some control over that. You do have some control of your employment earnings and the duration of your employment. And one of the things that's so interesting right now, when we came out of the mortgage meltdown, the financial crisis of 2008, What we found was that a lot of clients need to take extra distributions for their kids or their grandkids. You know, we would hear this on a fairly regular basis. We need to do something for our kids and our grandkids. Coming out of the last pandemic, COVID-19 meltdown in the market that was down and right back up. But coming out of that, what we have found more people doing is that they are exchanging time for money. And they're looking at their job and they're looking at their career and they're thinking, hey, do I want to work a couple more years to add a little bit more to my 401k or maybe get a couple things paid off? Or if I have a pretty good amount of money put together and I have a plan put together because I've been working someone, you know, to put a plan in place and I've reached some of these goals, do I really want to continue working or do I want to exchange time for money? In other words, I'm going to go ahead and retire early. And then I'm going to enjoy this time instead of making some more money. Now, what's interesting about this is, you know, we've been teaching a class that we teach at Ivy Tech and through IU for many years. And every year we get a brand new survey. And the survey is always a survey of people who are working and people who are retired. And the survey goes like this. When you ask people who are still working, how many of them plan to work between the ages of 65 and 70? And last year, 71% of people said that they plan to work at least to the age of 65 and up to 70. However, when the next group that's surveyed, the people who are retired, when you ask them, when did you retire? A larger number of them retired at 62 to 65. What that means is that there's a lot of people who are looking at their retirement, their work life, and they're thinking, I'm going to make it this long. And the reality is that when you talk to people who are retired for any number of reasons, whether they're choosing, you know, time over money or maybe they had a pension buyout or something came their way, people are actually retiring earlier than they plan to. That doesn't always mean they saved the right amount of money. It doesn't always mean that things are put together very well. Sometimes it's a health question. Sometimes it's they're just tired. They're ready to do something different. So when we go into this idea of what you have some control over, you do have some control of your longevity. You can avoid dangerous hobbies. You can do some things to improve your health. When it comes to employment and your earnings and the duration of that, you can do that. You have some control over how long you're going to work. Some people are deciding to work until December 31st. Some people are wanting to work until January 1st and then retire into a lower tax bracket for that year. So you do have some control over those things. What's something you have total control over? And this is really interesting, and it's not always an easy topic, particularly right now when things are beginning to open back up and people are beginning to spend some more money. You have total control of your saving and your spending. That doesn't mean you don't have to come up with some money if there's a crisis or something goes wrong. But you know what I'm saying when you're talking about a budget and how that you are spending your money. And we always say to people that a cash flow statement should be done once a year, once every 2 years, because that way you have total control of what you're spending. You can decide where your money is going to go. And so a spending plan is vitally important, and you have control of that. That's not just some control. You have control of that. Your savings rate. One of the most important features of financial stewardship and planning for retirement is not just the fund you're in. It's not just the expense ratio. It's not just how did it perform versus this benchmark or that benchmark. A lot of times success is just dependent on how much are you saving? What is the right savings rate for you? So what we always talk to people and recommend to them is what are your maximum contribution limits? How much can you contribute to IRAs? How much can you contribute to your work retirement plan? And depending on what that amount of money is, you want to make sure that you're putting those dollars to work in those tax-efficient vehicles. So figuring out your savings rate is really almost just as important as making sure you're in the right investments. Now, you can save a lot of money in the wrong thing or a little money in the right thing, but the truth is you need to take a step back and you need to put together a really good savings rate. It used to be that people were assumed that a 10% savings rate would get them to retirement. It will, but a 15 to 20% savings rate actually gets you to a really well put together and less cause for concern type retirement. We've talked a lot about the sequence of returns and what happens if the markets go bad in those first few years. And if you haven't had the right savings rate, You haven't quite reached the milestone you need, and then all of a sudden you have a market correction in the beginning. That can be a tough formula. So you want to make sure that you pay some attention to that. The next thing that's in your control, your asset allocation. So saving, spending, but then also asset allocation. You get to determine whether you're working with a financial advisor, whether you're working on your own, whether we're talking about your 401k, 403b, you are determining exactly what those investments are going to be. Are they going to be 70% stocks, 30% bonds, 100% stocks? That's your asset allocation. And in a bigger sense, that is the way that you reduce risk and hopefully increase gains. More importantly than that, though, you need to find the asset allocation that you will stick with. Because when we look at people who are changing their asset allocation all the time and they're changing their investments all the time, over long periods of time, which is what you're saving for retirement for, they actually do less, or they actually have smaller returns than clients who just find the right asset allocation and stick with it through good, through bad, or as Warren Buffett would say, through thick or thin. Sometimes it's hard to stay together in thin, but the reality is that asset allocation is so important, and you want to have an asset allocation that you will stick with. Lastly, something else that's in your control, your location, both the town or city you live in or the house that you live in. You know what taxes are going to be. You know what tax possibilities are going to be in the city or the town or the county you live in. But then also your house. And we've talked about this a lot on the program. We hear oftentimes people say things like, well, we're going to downsize when we retire. Well, the reality is there's a lot of people who downsize, but they don't down cost. So they'll go and get the granite countertops that they always wanted, or they'll get something that they always want in their house. And so the house ends up costing about as much as their other house did, but yet it's a downsize. And so we feel a little bit better about that. So you have total control of that. You have control of your housing. You have control of your location. And you have control of how you're going to be living and making those ongoing expenses that don't go away in retirement. So that is another area. So those are things that you have total control of. Now the last one, the one that you have no control of. First of all, let's go to market returns. We would love to be able to control the markets, but you cannot control the markets. If we could, they would only go up and they would never go down. But the reality is markets are uncontrollable. They're all based upon buyers and sellers and economic news and earnings and data that comes to us from all kinds of different places. And so market returns are not going to be within your control. What you can control is how you invest in those markets, and perhaps use some instruments to lower the risk, to lower the volatility, or to lower, what would I say, your exposure to different types of asset classes. So again, that goes back to your asset allocation, but the market itself, you cannot control that. And so if you're going to be invested in the market, you need to have a long time horizon, and you need to have a comfortable view knowing that your investment portfolio is going to go up and go down. Another thing, and boy, we could do a whole segment on this, but we're not going to. What is another couple areas where things are out of your control? Policy. Policy regarding taxes, policy regarding savings, and policy regarding benefits. So when it comes to taxes, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because you've heard David talk an awful lot about taxes and the Final Drive 2025, his book that he recently wrote, and it's recently available. Call our office or go to Amazon if you'd like to find that. It's the Final 2025, The Final Drive by David Hayes. He's talked a lot about taxes in the future and what we're facing as a nation, and that's something that you want to be aware of. And taxation policy can change. And like it or not, you can have no control over that. Savings, the amount of money you're allowed to save. You don't have control over what the government will allow you to put away into IRAs. We know what they are today for 401ks, IRAs, and things of that nature. But you don't know exactly what policies may be coming up in the future. And lastly, benefits. Everyone's nervous about Social Security, Medicare, different types of benefits. The reality is this: you need to pay very close attention to your Social Security estimate. You need to be getting that estimate about once a year, once every 2 years, emailed or mailed to you. But the reality is when you read that on their ink, with their paper, they're telling you that if things don't change, there could be a reduction in your benefits. They're just giving you a forewarning, there could be a reduction. We're not necessarily agreeing or disagreeing with that. We're just saying that that is a possibility that's out there. Should that occur, you need to have a plan for your protected income or your portfolio and to understand how that would work, because it's totally, totally out of your control. So some control, total control, out of your control. The main thing that conquers and cures a lot of these different questions that can come at you from nowhere is having a well-coordinated retirement portfolio and retirement plan that allows you to answer those questions and reduce some of the out-of-controls, put yourself in a better position on the things you somewhat can control, and really dominate in the areas that you have total control over. This is Your Money with David Hayes. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Rod Holloway. He's going to be talking about the markets. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. Doug Hughes live in studio, joined by Rod Holloway. None other than Rod Holloway. He is quite a radio personality. I hear him in here calling, or at the office calling into the radio show, the different radio shows, and talking about the markets and things like that. Rod, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing well today. Obviously, we have a green board, and that always makes things a little bit better. And, you know, it's still summertime, and summer is always a little bit nicer than the winter. So,
absolutely. Hey, before we get right into the markets and things of that nature, have you been watching the Olympics at all this year, Rod?
You know, not really. I have tried to pay attention to anyone affiliated with Indiana University, which those athletes have done fairly well. Last I saw that IU was tied for most medals out of all university participants over there in the Olympics. Wow. But beyond that, the times are just so odd. And even really, I haven't been able to find a good listing, and I haven't tried extremely hard either, you know, of exactly when some of the events that I would be more interested in to watch. It seems like some of them are at strange times, in which I'm probably in bed asleep and not up. But for the most part, I have watched them from afar and just paid a little more attention to how the athletes from Indiana University that are over there competing, how they're doing.
Yeah, I'm with you. As you know, I follow tennis pretty closely, and all our eyes are on Novak Djokovic this year, who, should he win the gold, he's in the quarterfinals, should he win the, or the semifinals, should he win the gold, he'll be the first male athlete to win a golden slam in this year. And Chris Evert, I think, was the last person to play tennis to do that, and she represented us back in the 1980s. But anyway, I'm with you, though, Rod. I never know what time they're going to start or what time they're going to end, so I've kind of been trying to record some things and hope it works out right.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously the time difference throws a little bit of a monkey wrench in those problems.
Absolutely. Hey, Rod, you know, this is the radio show that I do at least once a year, where we just talk about things that you can control, that you have some control over, you can control, you have no control over. And what's interesting is I've used this outline each year for several years, and actually dating all the way back to about 2016-17, I had copies, and you've called in each time. But I noticed this, I just picked this one up from 2018, and you were to call in for this part of the radio program back then in 2018, and one of our discussions was Dow 21,000. And here we are, Rod, at Dow, what are we today, 35,000?
Yeah, I was going to say, with the Dow currently setting up about 220 points, we are at Dow 35,152. So we've come a long way since that discussion we had back in 2018, Doug.
Yeah, isn't that really amazing? Tell all of us, you know, a little bit about, you know, right now stocks are up, you know, bonds are holding their own to doing okay. They're not just getting crushed, so to speak. Maybe a particular area or two, but I mean, really all asset classes seem to be holding in there and doing well. What's going on out there for the average listener? What, you know, who's afraid that the markets are too high and the sky is falling hyperinflation's on the way, and our national debt is so big that the markets have to collapse. Give us some reasons as to why this is still occurring.
Sure. Now, in general, with the first part of that statement in regards to most everything doing well, which you're correct. I mean, commodities have done well. That's kind of that inflation part you've talked about. Bonds have done well because yields have gone back down after they spiked early in the year. We ran from below 1% on the 10-year to as high as 1.7, I think maybe even 1.75 before retreating back, hanging around that 140 to 150 range for a while, and then here in the last month and taking a slight push down. And as we know, when the interest rates go down on bonds, bond values go up. So that means bond values are up a little bit. Equity most certainly is up. Commodities are up. So yeah, across the board. But I think the important thing is don't assume that correlation is completely gone, because over short periods of time, correlation seems to be all connected, meaning all investments are moving in the same direction, all up or all down at the same time. Remember, a lot of these assets are really considered long-term investment assets. So for a month, for 3 months, maybe even for a half of a year, maybe a year, you can see similar type of correlation. Many times that type of correlation, if it does last for a year or longer, there's probably some sort of external event causing it, such as 2008 and the financial crisis. So we were highly correlated back then, unfortunately, to the downside. But even in the rebound started across the board and kind of with everything. And I think that's a little bit of what's playing into it here, is we've gone from a pandemic that forced us to partially shut our economy down to now reopening it. So I think across the board, everything is benefiting from the reopening. Longer term, will that stay that way? No, probably not. So that's where I think that it's always important for people to view and know and understand what their time horizon is, what the objective within that, the end of that time horizon is, and what your real risk tolerance is, and set an allocation portfolio accordingly, and try not to make dramatic changes because of short-term moves and fluctuations in the market that may make you feel like, oh, this is the new normal. Because I've heard a lot of people say this is the new normal and make some dramatic changes and then get burned really bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's one of the things that we talk about, the things that you have total control over, and that's your asset allocation. And boy, over the years, haven't we seen people make a mistake to be, you know, have too much money in one particular security and it go bad, or when the markets go bad, move to investments they think are safe and then they don't get to enjoy the rebound. You know, some people say, and it's absolutely true, not everybody lives by this, but it's really just how you emotionally handle the market that determines your success versus just picking the right one or two things.
Yeah, most certainly, because as I already mentioned, most of what we're talking about are considered long-term investments, but emotions work minute by minute, hour by hour, week by week. So it can be very hard sometimes to disconnect the emotional feeling that comes from either the euphoric high of the market doing extremely well and greed kicking in and wanting you to go, oh my gosh, had I not had some of these dollars in these assets that didn't perform as well, think of how much I had, to the other extreme on the other end when things are going down and going, oh my gosh, if I don't hurry up and change my investments now, I'm going to have absolutely nothing left in another week or two. And those are both extreme measures, and it rarely actually happens in those extreme measures to that degree. But yes, it can be very difficult to deal with the emotions. That's part of the reason that, one, either retail investors use an advisor, because that advisor, not there because exclusively because of his knowledge of the markets, but also to help work with the client and educate them on what they should expect to see out of their investments, how they work, to help stop them from making some of those mistakes. And then if you are a retail investor that has chose to go it on your own, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, if you have the time and knowledge to do that, by all means, please do. But what you probably need to do is you probably really need to be disciplined about writing down what your real objective and strategy is, and going back and looking at that anytime the emotions begin to bubble up and create fear or greed within you, go go back and reassess and say, okay, when I first started this investment plan, here was my objectives, here was the time horizon for those objectives, and see if something has dramatically changed with that long-term plan. My guess is in the short run, probably nothing has changed, especially if you had an outlook of needing these dollars out of the equity market 10, 15, 20 years down the road, and this is going on maybe 9 months or a year after you implemented that plan. Well, guess what? The time thing is still on your side, so maybe you shouldn't bail on that strategy. But you do need to know why you did it, what the time horizon for what you're doing it is, and the reasons behind, not just the objective, but the reasons behind the specific selection of the investment, and analyze all of those things and see if something has changed versus just the feeling within your gut.
Absolutely. Rod, while we've got you, just one last thing, because people I know are reading about this and they may or may not understand fully what this means, but there's been a lot of headlines about, you know, growth versus value and money moving from the growth sector to the growth stocks to value stocks, and then people are saying from value stocks back to growth stocks. Can you give us just a couple minutes on the difference between growth and value, and then also what about a blend? That would be the final statement. What about a blend? What would someone expect from that?
Yeah. So on the growth side, obviously you're looking at companies that have high growth rates within their earnings and revenue dollars, meaning that they are growing at, say, 20% on a year-over-year basis or greater in that regard. Your value stocks on the earnings and revenue growth are going to be a lot more stable and a lot lower, because typically they're much more mature companies. They're probably in products or services that have been around a long time, so they're not really deemed innovative and disruptive. So they probably have smaller margins. They typically have great cash flow, which is also why a lot of them in the value category pay a dividend, because that cash flow is very strong and steady. Now, it doesn't mean that a growth stock can't have strong, steady cash flow. They most certainly can. But in general, especially the newer, the small, the mid-sized growth stocks, you know, they're still getting their feet underneath them. They're pursuing these new abundance of opportunities they have, whether it's a new product, a new service that they're rolling out on there with that. The blend side really is kind of those stocks that are sitting in the middle and a little bit of both. They still have good growth ahead of them, just maybe it's not the high growth, and they still have a little more stability, and they're a little more mature in the nature of their business model, and then kind of fall within the two categories of that. Now, I think one thing that people have to assess is determination, should I be investing in growth or value, or should I be tilting towards growth or tilting towards value, comes down to your risk tolerance. Growth typically is going to have a little more risk or volatility in it. If you can't stomach the roller coaster ride, then you probably want to back off of growth and look more at blended and value. When you talk about this year specifically, because as you alluded to, Doug, it's been a massive debate all year long, growth versus value, partially because growth has dramatically outperformed value for roughly the last 3 to 5 years. So everyone's assuming a catch-up, and it makes sense. We probably will have, but the timing of that catch-up is extremely hard to determine and figure out. So what I've been saying most of this year is that, you know what, a nice balanced approach in which you have some exposure to value and some exposure to growth, and tilt yourself in the direction that makes the most sense for your risk tolerance. So those that are more risk averse, you own a little more value than growth. And those that are in the accumulation phase or have a higher tolerance for risk, tilt a little bit more towards the growth and the value side. But I think at the end of this year, what we will see is that both growth and value will probably have pretty solid performance so far this year. Midway through the year, that's kind of what we have seen. Value came out of the gate hot. Growth was slow. Value slowed down. Growth came roaring back and played catch up. We're still kind of here, slightly past the halfway point, tilted a little bit more towards growth from a performance perspective, but I don't necessarily think that from here to the end of the year that it's all growth and no value from that aspect. So I'm still sticking to my original statement back in January of this year that a barbell approach of having some exposure to both assets will bode well come end of the year.
Wonderful. Rod Holloway, thank you. You always add so much to the radio show, and thank you from all of us for your diligent work and looking out over the markets and being ready to jump on the program and have something always new and thoughtful to say every time that you're called upon. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you very soon.
All right, Doug, thank you for all the kind words and have a wonderful radio show.
Okay, thank you. This is Your Money with David Hayes. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes, brought to you by Kenny Bland Auctions, your full-service auction service offering pre-planning the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit them online at KennyBlandAuctions.com. And also do not forget our friend Lance Like at the Lance Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance Like at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. Two phone calls worth making if you're working on your estate or if you're curious about auctioning off things that you have in your estate as well. Okay, let's talk quickly about structuring retirement portfolios. And we'll talk about a couple different things here. First is at the very bottom of this pyramid. Let's make it a pyramid. We have a few different asset classes and different things that we would recommend there. And this is not based upon your wants. It's based upon your needs. The old budgeting concept, the old budgeting conversation. How much money do you need each month, and how are you going to get that money, and how is that money coming to you in a protected way? And so, you know, the first thing that we always recommend there, of course, is going to be some cash and some cash alternatives. I think we're all there. One of the things that we have been running into people in the last couple of weeks and past month is more and more people are saying, I've got too much money in the bank and I'm not really earning anything on it. An interesting problem to have, but it's a reality right now that we're just not earning much in the bank. But we still recommend that cash or cash alternatives be a big part of the portfolio in the bottom part of the triangle, just or the bottom part of the pyramid, just simply because you don't know when things are going to go wrong. But let's talk a little bit about income. So income can come from you a couple of different spots. One is if you are fortunate enough to still have a pension. You need to do some examinations on what that pension looks like. When does it start? How much is it, of course? But how much are the survivor benefits on those pensions? And oftentimes those pensions have, you know, single life or they have joint life, 100%, 66%, 50%. This is an area where once you make a decision, you can't come backwards on this. So when you make lifetime income decisions, you pretty well are stuck with those lifetime income decisions. So when you're doing a pension, make sure that you work with someone to navigate through what is the best long-term decision for you and for your family for that protected income stream. The next one, though, is one for everyone. And Wayne Thacker in our office has spent a lot of time talking about Social Security. We've all done Social Security analysis for our clients, and we've done these programs about it. And we always go back to this. It's something that literally everyone is going to participate in. So there's a few highlights to Social Security I just want to remind everyone about, and that is that you can begin taking Social Security with decreased benefits at the age of 62, and those benefits are going to be less than they would be, of course, if you waited till your full retirement age, which is either 66 and some months or 67. But you're gonna lose about 6.25% each year by taking your Social Security at age 62. If you wait till your full retirement age, you get the 100% full benefit of Social Security. After that, if you have a plan to use other sources for income, you can allow your Social Security to increase, and that will increase by 8% a year until the age of 70. So you're making a decision at 62 at a decreased benefit. A full benefit at 66 or 67, and then 70 is when you get the maximum that you can get out of Social Security. The thing to remember about Social Security is that you probably want to do an analysis on which is going to be the most profitable for you over long periods of time. Social Security, you pay federal tax, but you're not going to pay state tax, so it is a tax-efficient income stream. And that roll-up of 8% per year between full retirement age and age 70 is a free roll-up. It doesn't cost you anything to do that. The reason we say you need to kind of get some of these different ideas answered and thought out very well is because, much like a pension, once you make a decision to take Social Security, you're pretty well locked into it, and you're not coming backwards from that. And so there's only really one way to redo it, and that is over after about 12 months. So Social Security planning, again, is very important. Some of these, at the very bottom, if you had a pyramid and you were trying to match up my needs, my monthly expenses of mortgage, utilities, food, whatever life has to offer, insurances, when you're trying to match up the guaranteed income and the consistent income with your needs at the very bottom of the pyramid, this is really where you need to spend most of your time planning and thinking. A lot of people spend more time thinking about the stock market than they do about their guaranteed income streams. And as we've said so many times in this program, it's not your net worth, it's your net income. When you go into retirement, it is your net income. What does that begin to look like? So this is an area that, when we get into things you can control, getting back to that, you can control when you take Social Security. You can control, for the most part, your pension decisions. And so these are areas where you need to be paying very close attention to what is going on. So this is Social Security, this is pension. One last item that we'll mention here is the word annuity. The word annuity is a Latin word. It means annual, annua. It is an annual distribution of income. There are more and more people who are taking a step back now and saying to themselves, how much of my income in retirement do I want to have protected? And when you begin to think things through that way, it gives you a different lens than between just saying, hey, the stock market has always done 10%, so I'm going to be fine doing that, because we're just guessing. We're income guessing at that point. But when you get into income planning, that income guessing, and you begin to consolidate these different income streams, you might be surprised with adding a third leg of retirement income that is protected will do for your overall financial plan, and also the longevity of your portfolio. So this comes in the form of high-quality bonds, cash reserves, Social Security, pension, perhaps an annuity of some kind. And that really is where you build your basic every month needs of income. That's where you build from there. And once that base of the pyramid is built, then we move on to the wants. And that's when we get into the next layer of investments. And what happens with the things that we want? Well, you know, that's the ability to gift. That's the ability to go on vacations. That's the ability to put things together in a way that we have freedom. And the question there is, how many trips do you want to take? Or what? That's really where kind of the dreams and the bucket list comes into action. And that's when you have some multi-asset different solutions, some asset allocations, some equities, and, you know, different things of that nature. But again, this is the wants. It's not the needs. It's the wants. It is the area in which you feel like you can take some more risk because you don't know exactly what the outcome is going to be, but you have a pretty good general idea. And so that's a pretty important way to view the next part of the pyramid, which is your wants. So the needs, the wants. My wife and I have had discussions about needs versus wants and relates to shopping. And we're all on different pages, it seems like, sometimes. So part of retirement planning is also life planning and having that open discussion into the household, because you may have different views. But the needs, the wants, those two parts should be at the very base. The needs is the base, then the wants is the next part of the pyramid. Then the last part would be the legacy. And the legacy would be, how long do I want to plan to withdraw money, and how much do I want to leave to my heirs? Who are my heirs? What are my estate planning goals? Do I want to leave them with IRAs that have to be out in 10 years due to the Secure Act? Or would I rather spend the IRA down and leave them Roth IRAs? Or would I rather leave them life insurance? Or would I rather leave them a house? What do I want to leave to my beneficiaries? What is my estate planning goal? And so when you begin to divide your financial plan into those three areas, needs, wants, and legacy, then you really have an opportunity to soften some of the edges and to bring into concert all these things that need to be coordinated and coordinated well. The bottom line is this, though, whether it's the needs, the wants, the legacy, it all begins with how it's going to be paid for. How are you going to put this portfolio together to do what you need it to do? And so financial planning, then, it's not a quick read at the bookstore. It's not a quick blurb and a headline. It is very serious when you take all the different aspects of it into consideration, and you put everything together to work out to the best of your ability that you want it to work out at. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about one or two other quick things as it relates to overall retirement planning, and then we're going to talk about the show for next week. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes, brought to you by Unrivaled Electric. Unrivaled Electric is your full-service electrical contractor specializing in generators and solar arrays. Veteran-owned, Unrivaled Electric wants to be your electrician. Call 812-361-3604, or you can find them on Facebook. Real quick, one of the things that we run into a lot as we're talking to people in the planning process is they have questions about long-term care, and they have questions about Medicare. One of the things that we like to say to people is we're going to answer the questions you're going to ask us 10 years from now. And one of the questions that people always end up asking or always are concerned about is long-term care coverage. And I just want to step out and say that there are plenty of new planning vehicles that allow you to address long-term care, terminal illness, chronic illness. These can be big erosions of purchasing power and big erosions of asset bases. And so this is an area where when you've been through this and you've had to make those payments, you know what I'm talking about. It gets very expensive. Please make sure that you understand what the coverage is through Medicare. And then on top of Medicare, if this is something you're concerned about, you need to be shopping and looking for a way to manage that risk. So a few things you can do with risk. You can ignore it, you can embrace it, or you can reduce it. And so this is an area where when we see retirees as they're getting ready to plan to retire, they're 5 or 10 years out, needing to make some decisions, this is an area where you want to do some planning and do some risk mitigation. Specifically because Medicare is only going to do so much for you, and a lot of people have this idea that Medicare is going to cover a lot. But I want to take this time to tell you a little bit about something that we're doing at the office. Josh Norris is doing a monthly Medicare program. And so if anyone out there is listening, you're 63, 64, 65, if you're on Medicare, please come to our website and find out when Josh is going to be doing that next Medicare program, because he's going to be able to answer two things for you at once. He's going to give you all the details about Medicare, what you need to know, what the costs are, what's expected, when you need to file, what it covers, what it does not cover. But then at the same time, he will also talk about long-term care and assisted living and how those different things are taken care of. Folks, it's just an important way to look at your portfolio and to manage risk. Lastly, on Medicare, one last thing, be careful of scams. Be careful. Just make sure that you're really documenting and looking through who you're talking to and understand the people you're working with when it comes to Medicare programs, because believe it or not, in an area like that, there are people who are trying to do scams. So look us up, find out that information, and we will be glad to have you to answer those questions. All right. When we come back, we're going to wrap up this show and introduce next week's show. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Thank you for joining us this week on Your Money with David Hayes. This is last-minute host Doug Hughes, pinch-hitting and taking care of the big show. We appreciate everyone listening in. Just to recap, we talked about things you can control, things you can't control, and things you have some control over. We talked to Rod about the markets, and we also talked about a pyramid structuring your income and your portfolio so that they align together very, very well. As you know, anything can happen on Your Money with David Hayes. There could be a special guest. There could be a special idea. There could be a big investment breakthrough. There could be some kind of news that shocks the financial world, or we could have a regular show with David where he talks about taxes, retirement, income planning, and things of that nature. We don't know, Rob. We don't know what next week is going to hold. We thought we would, but we don't know. All I can promise our listeners is this. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be well-informed, and you're going to get a lot out of it. Thank you for listening, folks. Have a wonderful week. This is Your Money with David Hayes.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.